This is the Ring of Honor, a.k.a. Shane T, boy, the baddest champion you ever seen, boy.
This is Mr. Anderson.
This is good old JR Jim Ross, and you are listening.
You're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
Cover!
We got a cover world champion!
That might be one of the craziest knockouts I've ever seen in my life.
Knockouts and Three Counts is the podcast meeting to the real deal.
Knockouts and Three Counts starts now.
It's another Tuesday. This is Knockouts and Three Counts. And as you can see, apparently J-Bone and I still have a Halloween hangover, hence the title of this here episode. With that being said, there's a lot to talk about in the world of pro wrestling and MMA. And before we get started, I'm going to just throw it out here to any of you guys once you get in here and check it out. This Thursday, we're going to be getting ready for another UFC card with James Lynch. This Thursday, 7 o'clock. Be here. Watch that shit.
Very excited for that one.
What up, Doe? As you join the stream, let us know where you're coming from, all that good shit. Throw some stuff in the comments, talk some shit to us. I dare you. J-Bone, how the hell you doing, bro?
What up, man? As you can see, I am definitely feeling the Halloween hangover, bro. I'm not ready to let it go. I know it's November now, but only what? 363 more days until we do it again.
I mean, cheapy creepy might be the move from now on, bro. Like, if I'm being honest, cheapy creepy might have to be the move
for Halloween. I was highly impressed with the way that was all put together, dude. I said it on my show earlier. At one point, I was standing in between Cleopatra, Gordon Bombay, and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Ain't that an eclectic mix?
The costumes they came up with are fucking incredible, dude. Like, hell yeah.
You get a group of inspired people together, man, there's going to be some creative-ass costumes. I figured there would be coming out of there.
Dude, not to mention, like, the stage acts. Like, you had a rock and roll version of Britney Spears, which was dope. And then you had me and Kyle, once Metallica hit the stage, the freaking...
Fuck yes! That made my whole night. Like, them playing for those 20 minutes or whatever it was, I swear to you, that made my whole fucking night.
At that point, we were all in on that shit, dude. That was...
Right then, they had a mosh pit going on up in there, bro. We had a mosh pit going on. You had people crowd surfing. It was a damn good time. Ironically, since that's the first time I can remember being back there since I was getting pelted with beers about 10 or so years ago, 10 or 15 years ago at this point, had a fight in that very same venue. So, it was good times. I'm just sharing things out, letting everybody know we are live and all those good things. But if you were already subscribed, you would already know that. But with that being said, man, Cheapy Creepy was dope. I didn't know what to expect. When we first got there, it was like I was walking back into middle school, bro. We had Taken Back Sunday playing, and hot damn it, I was having a good time. And then we went and checked out the outside, and maybe I'm thinking it might have had to do something to do with her sorcery. But damn it, I missed my shot with Link. Hot damn. I'm mad. I think that scepter had, like, I think it, like, worked a trance over me or something, bro. I mean, something happened because we kept running into each other, and then every time I tried to buy her a drink, somebody else walked in the way. And Link, if you hear this, just saying, your boy's DMs are open, which you can follow me at Detroit Knockout. You can also follow the show at KO3C Pod. But yeah, I had a damn good time. The guys from Metallica, like I said, the Metallica cover band, Metallica, they were something else. He had the Hetfield down pretty good.
He had it down. I didn't get the band's name, dude. I regret not getting the name of that actual band.
I didn't ever hear him say the name, to be honest.
I didn't either. It's probably on the flyer somewhere. I'll have to get that from JJ. But I'm kind of interested to hear their actual music that they do. You know what I mean?
All I know is, like, I feel like Metallica might be one of the bands that probably has, like, the most cover bands, but, like, I also feel like in that same breath, you have to, like, if you're gonna be a Metallica cover band, you better fucking sound like Metallica, because everybody kind of knows what Metallica sounds like. Right. And I don't know. I feel like if you fuck it up, it's pretty noticeable really quick.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, they're hitting it on all cylinders, man. That was fun. That put me right in the spirit. I was like rocking out there, mosh pitting and shit.
I mean, dude, every time I go to a concert with you at this point, for some reason, why do you always navigate me to where we're just standing right outside the pit? So then I got to, like, be telling these motherfuckers, like, bro, like, I'm not in the pit, okay? I ain't got no problem with you being in the mosh pit. But if I'm far away from the line, don't come out that far swinging, because I might choke you up real quick.
Yeah, man, it's all about the energy, dude. The energy follows you.
I was dancing. It was a good time. I don't know why that man tried to sell me what was supposed to be Pabst Blue Ribbon, and it ended up being like tasting like the chocolate milk that I got at lunch, but apparently the chocolate milk would have gotten me drunk. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of the Pabst Blue Ribbon coffee thing. It tasted more like chocolate milk to me. But, yeah.
Hey, at least you didn't have to go in the candy eating contest of doom. That would have sucked.
Dude, that girl looked like she was gonna die.
And she was standing.
Oh my god.
We were standing out on the stage. We were right at the front of the stage, right? And they were doing the candy eating contest of doing they're shoving candy down the throat. This drunk girl was standing right in front of us, dude. If she would have spewed, it'd have came right at us. So we're sitting here like looking as she's staggering around and just shoving all this candy down her throat. And I'm just sitting there like, okay, if she goes, I'm diving to the right, dude, because that wouldn't be pretty. She barely made it off the stage afterwards. She was dressed as Medusa. Some crazy stuff, man.
Those nights always get wild.
When the cheeks start going like this.
Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for like chunks, bro. I thought it was just coming. I thought it was going to be like Twix and Almond Joy.
She had her hair covering her face. She was eating her hair, and it was a mess, dude. She definitely shouldn't have been up there.
And then she was trying so hard to be hot as she got off the stage, too, and that wasn't working.
But did she at least win the contest,
though? No, this dude, like, smoked them all.
If you're gonna put all that effort in drunk as hell, you got to at least get the
dead last. And I think she ended up throwing up in that bucket, so I think technically
she... Oh, dude, she definitely probably threw up at some point, because I know she kept drinking, too.
Gross.
Gross. You had to make room for the rest of the booze, man.
What I mean, she was making room, all right. But yeah. Cheapy Creepy was definitely a blast. As you can see, let us know what you think of our costumes. Now, mine is a little bit more noticeable. I mean, hell, I could have passed for Darby Allin if I would have painted my face up. And then you got Jam Mr. J-Bone over here, you know, with his Undertaker-like hat on. This is the get-ups we were in at Cheapy Creepy. I figured since it was a Halloween hangover, I figured, why get dressed? I'll just throw my costume back on.
There you go. Why not?
Hey, Nate, coming into the comments. J-Bone for Prez. Jam Master J-Bone 2022.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't know if I'm suitable for that, but I'll be a DJ.
J-Bone for President 2024. All right, man. Cheapy Creepy was a badass time. Like I said, Link, my DMs are open. That being said, we had some pretty badass wrestling go on Friday night, huh?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Bryan Danielson versus Eddie Kingston was fucking amazing. I'm just saying, it was fucking amazing. And what's wild about it is I watched those same two dudes wrestle in front of 250 people at Taylortown right around the corner from us. And now they're in the main event or the kicking off Rampage for the AEW World Title Tournament. Anybody who's watching, if you guys are wrestling fans, who you guys got in this AEW tournament? But with that being said, man, they really went at it, beat the shit out of each other. Danielson's chest looked like hamburger meat. And then, like, the finish, he had him in a triangle choke and choked him to sleep while Eddie's flipping him off. So it was like the reverse Nate Diaz. But, yeah, it was a damn good match. What did you think, bro?
Dude, honestly, that was like – as much as – obviously, I think we all knew
– How does Corey get your vote and he's the only one not fucking dressed up? What the fuck?
I think I know why.
Oh, I think shit. I know why. It's got to be that. That's what's up.
Always prepping the class, baby.
Danielson, man, I think we all knew he was going to go over in that match, but the way that Kingston did it, the way he made himself look more like a badass than he. I mean, we already know he's a badass, but dude, the dude went out on his horse, man, flipped him off as he was being put out, and he was dude. The backhand, the moment in that match that stood out for me when he did the spinning back fist and just dropped Danielson, and the whole crowd just stood up and started clapping and cheering right in the middle of the match, dude. That's when you know you got a classic right there. That was dope.
Yeah, man. I mean, like I said, that match was an absolute banger. Bryan Danielson now advanced to the next round of the AEW tournament. Now, this week, you're going to have John Moxley taking on Orange Cassidy? Yeah, he's got Orange Cassidy this week. Orange Cassidy,
yeah.
Look, man, I know Orange Cassidy's pretty cool and all, and all that, but I don't know. I think John Moxley might – this new John Moxley that we're seeing that – has just straight up said, I don't give a fuck about the fans. I don't give a fuck about the title. Making money so that my daughter has what she needs is all I care about. Feel like it's a whole new mindset for Mox. I like what we've seen out of him so far in the tournament. I think anybody's really going to have a hard time for him, but I'm just going to throw it out here. Freshly squeezed might get squeezed again come Wednesday on Dynamite. I don't know.
Yeah. Even I agree with you on that one. You know, even with as much as I follow wrestling, I can tell you Moxley's definitely been on the rise, both in character and just what they've been able to do with him. So I would be surprised if they didn't steer him in the direction of the top of the tournament. And I like Orange Cassidy, always puts on entertaining matches and stuff, but I feel like between the two of them, one of them's on a clear rise towards the top. So definitely agree with you on that one.
What are you thinking, J-Bone? You think Orange Cassidy's got it in him to get it done?
Nah, I think he's gonna put up a fight. It's gonna be good, but there's no way he advances. Plus, Moxie's got does that book come out already? The book he was writing
November 1st. Yeah. It came out yesterday, I think.
I heard a lot of good things about that, so I feel like they're gonna with that momentum and Moxie, the way his new character is kind of evolving, dude. You might even see that dude all the way in the finals, to be honest. So.
Yeah, you very well might not be wrong on that, really.
Like I said, man, he's going to be a problem. And like I said, that mindset of I don't give a shit about the pomp and circumstance, like he's literally walked in there, beat his opponent, walked right back out.
Yeah.
Not said literally, dude, walked in, beat the dog shit out of Preston Vance, walked right back out the way he came back in, didn't pose, didn't talk, didn't nothing.
No fucks.
Whip your ass and leave. Literally. So, yeah, I think John Moxley is going to be a problem in the AEW tournament. But then the story of the night on this one, I guess, for me would had to been now it looks though like we're going to see Punk and Kingston. That to me has got money written all over it with their past both going through Ring of Honor and the Chicago scene like that. And you know, just the way they were going back and forth, man. Like, I don't know how else to put it, but that realism that's put in it, it was good stuff. But I feel like that's going to be another match that's going to be a banger. But I think the match in which him going against Eddie Kingston, I feel like that's going to really let us see where CM Punk is at as far as, you know, cardio wise and where you're at ring shape wise. What do you think about Eddie Kingston versus CM Punk? If you guys are in the comments, let us know if you got anything you want us to talk about. We're going to get to UFC 267, Ring of Honor, all kinds of shit. Let us know in the comments.
If you're leading into me on that one, I definitely think it's a fan favorite. I mean, everybody's been clamoring for pretty much everything CM Punk's done since he's made the move to AEW. And Kingston, like you have noted many times when we were out in Chicago, he got a huge pop to open the show. So it's no surprise it's going to be a fan favorite, no matter how the match plays out, I guess. I definitely see CM Punk taking it because of the star power and everything, but that being said, it'll still be entertaining. So,
what do you think, J-Bone?
Yeah. Not to mention, I think that's going to be another one of those physical badass matches, but I think the mic work on that could be really fucking good, dude. Because, I mean, obviously we know CM Punk.
It's going to be money. Like, they're going to make you want to – I mean, Kingston, just off what they did last night made you want to see him fight.
Kingston's one of the more realistic guys on the microphone because everything he says is fucking true. Pretty much, like, he will whoop your ass. And that's
well, dude, when a grown man comes out on TV and says, you know, I battle with depression every day, and if you saw the demons that I'm fighting in my own brain, you wouldn't even be able to – you don't even make me flinch. Like, you don't hear guys talking about how they're fighting their depression every day stuff.
There's no
that,
the way that he spins that, like the mental angle into like, I'm still a badass and I deal with this, is like, it's a very interesting spin. And with the way modern times are, I feel a lot of people lean into him because of that. So,
like I said, it's going to be something that's going to be interesting to watch and see how it goes. With that being said, let me ask you this, bro. So, J-Bone, what do you think is going to happen with Wyndham Rotunda, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt? Because now he has become a free agent. His no-compete clause is now over. So, where do you think he ends up? Do you think there's any chance he ends up back in WWE? If he's going to leave, where do you think he's going to go?
No, I mean, obviously money talks, right? So obviously there's always that slight chance he could be back in WWE, but with the way everything was handled, if it was handled the way it was directed at us, I don't think he's going back. He's only got one place to go, man. It's AEW. That's the quote unquote hot tag. You know what I mean? So he could do a lot of things, especially if they give him the creative control like they're doing with everybody else. That dude is going to take that character, or any new character that he can create on his own, he's going to take it to the moon, man. So that guy's got a lot of star power if he's leaving to go to AEW, which I think he will.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked by that at all. I mean, they're a company that would let him really do that. Now, my only thing with everybody always saying that he's going to go to AEW, I think Bray Wyatt or Wyndham Rotunda, whatever he's going to go by now. I believe he's going to be an impact wherever he goes, man. But then the thing is, you start to wonder if AEW is getting into, what up, Alex? I see you in the comments. What up, though? We're talking about AEW and what we see for Bray Wyatt, you know, because his non-compete is up. So we're talking about that and where we see him lining up. But like I said, I'm starting to wonder if AEW is starting to get into any kind of danger of having too many people. I mean, granted, they've got a bunch of shows, but like, they got a hell of a roster all put together too, man.
No, I don't think so. Are you talking about in the fact of signing ex WWE guys, or are you talking about just the roster?
I'm talking about overall number.
Yeah,
there's only so many spots on TV.
The fact that they've expanded to two shows and are doing them regularly, as regularly as they are, and they're pushing out all this like pre-show content and stuff like that. No, I feel like if anything, they could even serve to do a little bit more content-wise, because they're booming right now. Like, to be real, they're booming right now with everything they're putting out. So I don't think it's necessarily an overinflated roster, because they're doing a really good job of promoting. I mean, most of their guys, even the ones that aren't at the top yet, I feel like still get work through the company, I guess. I don't know.
What do you think, J-Bone? You think it's for sure he's going to AEW?
I don't think it's for sure. Like I said, man, money talks. So if WWE throws a big enough dollar at him, maybe, but other than that, he's not going to go anywhere else. He's not going to go to Impact.
Would it make sense, even though, to leave your WWE contract, play it all the way through your no-compete clause and stuff, and then still sign back with them? I mean, like you say, money talks, but I feel like...
Well, the fact that he's through his no-compete, the fact that he's through his no-compete, right? I don't think he's going back there. I'm just saying, after what we saw with Samoa Joe and all that, me personally, I think AEW probably is probably going to be where he ends up, but I could also see him sliding through Impact for a little while too, especially if, you know, there's been rumors for quite a while that Adam Schur or Braun Strowman, you know, was back there at Impact, and there was a lot of talk that he was going to go there. If that ends up happening and he goes to Impact, I could see Rotunda going through there for a little bit. But at the same time, overall, I think as an overall place for him to land, I think AEW is definitely where he's ending up at.
As a wrestler that got released and made it through their full no compete, it would just make sense to go through anybody that would kind of take you in, just to build even more of a fanfare and kind of anticipation for wherever you do end up signing your long-term contract for. So it would make sense.
That's what I'm talking about. Alex, see, you're already leading into something else we were going to talk about. J-Bone and I were talking about it before we went on the show. We were going to talk about our top five as far as the people with the situation with Ring of Honor. They came out earlier this week. Or no, was it late last week or earlier this week? Came out saying that they're going to run their show up through Final Battle, but that all the talent was released effective immediately, and in January 2nd of 2022 could pretty much go wherever they want. Like I just said, Alex coming through in the comments, AEW needs to sign more women. I mentioned this a little bit when it first broke that the Ring of Honor roster was going to be up for free agency. Roxy is in my top five as far as people that I think can really shine coming out of Ring of Honor. I'm not really putting them in any sort of order, but it's as great a time as any. I agree with you 100%, Alex. I think Roxy going to Ring of Honor and some more of the females going from Ring of Honor to an AEW would be a big help because they definitely can use more depth in women's division. And I agree 100% with you. Who better to take over there than the for now, the last Ring of Honor women's champ, unless she loses it at a Final Battle. But you got a young, she's what, 19, 20 years old, a Ring of Honor champ. You know what I mean? She was trained by past guests of the show, Booker T, over there at Reality of Wrestling and all that good stuff. If you guys didn't get to check any of that out, make sure you hit that subscribe button. I got some other stuff we got to talk about that subscribe button here in a little bit. But like I said, man, there's a lot of good things that could happen if they would pick up some of the Ring of Honor women. J-Bone, what are your thoughts on it, bro?
Oh, yeah, I agree, man. That's one thing that AEW needs is depth in the women's division. They got to have it. I mean, they got a lot of people over there that are going to be good, but for now, they need depth big time over there.
And what up, though, Jerry? I got to talk to you, man, with these shirts we got coming out, fam.
There's gonna be a lot more over in Ring of Honor that could get over there to AEW and create that depth, like you said. That's gonna be big for them. So,
I mean, when the news first broke, Kyle, your point was basically they need to sign almost the entirety of the Ring of Honor's women division, and it wouldn't be the worst move to sign a lot of the women that would be interested in seriously competing. I mean, that wouldn't be a bad move.
Alex coming in the comments, he said he'd love to see Wyndham interact with -1. I would love to see that with the history between Brody Lee and Wyndham Rotunda, obviously part of the Wyatt family and all that. Like I said, that's a dope idea too. Keep them coming, Alex. I love this shit. You're making my job easier. Jerry, yes, I know I didn't get to make it to the show on Sunday, and I'm really upset I didn't get to because it looked dope as hell. Lucha Detroit, downtown Detroit, I didn't get to go on Halloween. I had my little dude over here, the future host of Knockouts and Three Counts. You know, Jaden, he's already got his cup and ready to make his debut. Well, he was dressed up like Mike Wazkowski, so I was a little bit preoccupied sitting there chilling, watching the game with the little homie and shit. So that's why I wasn't at Lucha Detroit. But like I said, Jerry, we gotta get in touch with some pitchers, brother man. That being said, well, I guess it's as good a time as any to say, any of you guys who haven't already done so, we got a new badass design that is all over our social medias. We've done the pre-order. I will have shirts if you guys are interested. Shoot us a DM and we'll get them to you. The badass design from our friend and past guest of the show, the American Kaiju, Miss Lindsay Snow. Like I said, I'm excited to get these shirts out. Get yours today. Support the show.
The design really does look amazing, especially on the white shirt. It really pops. And for anybody interested, it really is a nice looking shirt.
J-Bone, I mean, I told you. Come on, man.
Hey, come man, on, you already know I'm there. Give me one. XL. Hey, okay. XL.
All right. XL. It's all good, but check out the pics, PWI. That's what's up. See Jerry out here getting his stuff out here in PWI and all that good stuff. They just had, and speaking of what we were talking about, Ring of Honor and their women's division and all that good stuff, they just did the PWI, the first PWI 150. So, I mean, definite, you know, inroads being made on the women's side. But, all right, J-Bone, we talked about who were going to be our top five from Ring of Honor, at least as far as, like, the free agents go. So, since you're the guest here, I'll let you go first.
All right. I want to shoot them at you, and I want you to tell me where they're going to land. Can we do that? Is that all right with you?
Do it. All right.
From the hip, man. You don't got to go into detail. You just tell me where they're going to land. Any other place. I'm just going to throw you one. First off, I know he's hurt, but he's my favorite, Danhausen.
So Danhausen's already been all over the Jericho Cruise and all that stuff. If I had to guess where he'd go. And then let's not forget, though, before we say these things, like with Ring of Honor supposed to be coming back in April, like we don't know what's that going to mean. But again, they're releasing the whole roster. But I think somebody like Danhausen, I would say it's either going to be AEW, Impact, or MLW, but I would say more likely on the Impact or MLW run. Then again, like I said, he was just on the Jericho Cruise, so what the fuck do I know? Jerry, let us know. Where do you think Danhausen's going? All right, that's number five. What do you got?
Speaking of the Jericho Cruise, we talked about that too. We got to get our asses on that cruise.
I want to go. Let's go, bro. I'm with it.
A bucket list thing. That looks cool as fuck.
God damn it. I'm telling you, I'm down. Like, I'm down yesterday.
The next one's in March, man. Let's try to figure it out.
Let's go, then. Come on, man. If we're going to commit to it and actually get a suite, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
That is a trend I can stand behind 110%. I think it's the one I get referenced as all the time, Mr. Kid Rock, that started that trend. But he really started something because a lot of celebrities are doing the cruise thing, and I love it, man. That's an awesome way to interact with your fans and have a whole bunch of like-minded people get together and go on a trip. That's awesome.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. All right, so I got another guy. And keep in mind, these guys may not go anywhere. They might even hold out until Ring of Honor comes back. You never know. So a lot of those guys, you know, look like they should stay there with the way their star is there. But you got other guys like Jay Lethal.
Jay Lethal is so good, but I never understood why WWE didn't fuck with him. I mean, he was in TNA and Impact and then went back to Ring of Honor, which is really where he'd made his name. But man, if you ask anybody in wrestling, Jay Lethal is about as good as they can go. If he were to go anywhere, I just still don't really see WWE signing him. I think it would be great if they did, but I don't think they will. So with that being said, if Jay Lethal was to go anywhere else, I could see him going back to Impact.
Yeah. All right, here's another one. Tag team. Well, we already said Roxy. I think we all know where she's going to go. She's got to go to AEW.
Jerry, coming in the comments. Danhausen, Bandido, and Gresham to AEW.
There you go. Jerry took my next one. Bandido was my next one. But I'll throw you this one. Tag team, what about the Briscoes?
Oh, so this is a tough one. I love the Briscoes. I've always been a big fan of the Briscoes. I love the fact that they went to GCW. I really wish they would have like started branching out a little bit more like sooner. I mean, let's not forget. I mean, the Briscoes have basically been synonymous with Ring of Honor since day one, and they've been around for 20 years. So, I mean, they've been with Ring of Honor for so long, but man, there's so many cool ass matchups for them because I just enjoy the shit out of what they do. They just talk shit and get in there and bang, dude. Yeah. But you know, at the same time that they're accredited. I mean, Jay's a former world champion. Mark has got accolades out the ass, and they're obviously the most winning tag team in Ring of Honor history. So great team, and they're now your current GCW tag team champions, which reminds me, if you're going to be at GCW, I'm going to be at GCW. So, like I said, make sure when Uncle Chase throws down at motherfucking GCW, come find your boy from Knockouts and Three Counts. But the Briscoes, I think if they go anywhere, I could see an MLW with them. But something tells me that the respect that they have for the Briscoes could also land them in AEW with so many of their guys, like with the Jacksons facing them, so many, the Bucks facing them in Ring of Honor so many times. But I've heard that a lot of people don't want to touch the Briscoes, so it's going to be interesting to see where they can go. But in my opinion, dude, they're one of the best tag teams out there. And oh, I mean, sure. If GCW the other night was any evidence, the fact that they can just show up and people already knew what time it was.
Yeah. I got one more.
All right.
Shane Taylor.
I knew this was coming. I've got plenty to say as far as where Shane. So we can start that. Okay, he's one of my five as well. But Shane Taylor really broke out in Ring of Honor. Stuff they were doing with Kenny King and LFI was great. I loved seeing him up by the heavyweight champion, by their heavyweight championship. And if you guys are fans of STP, make sure you check out those interviews there in that subscribe button. Make sure you tap it, because we've had the other two thirds of the Ring of Honor six man champs, Khan and Moses. We've had the man Shane Taylor himself on here quite a few times. Shane's become quite a homie with the show at this point. So, like I say, Shane Taylor, I feel, has the potential to really do some big stuff. Now, I don't know that somebody on an AEW would go right after him. I just know from talking with Shane, there's a lot of love there between him and Court Bauer. So I could really see an MLW and then, you know, something like that, and then maybe building his way up. But I mean, I've said it and preached it to the high heaven up on this show. I think Shane has the ability, and with that group, I mean, hell, they could be a badass faction to go in there to AEW. I mean, we keep seeing these groups like Pinnacle and the Inner Circle. Well, you can't tell me that if Shane and them went in there and got Buck with Pinnacle, Pinnacle would really have to pull up the bootstraps.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So I think he might go to MLW first, but I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up in AEW with the faction warfare. Brody King to AEW. I could see that. Yeah. I could see that. Brody King, man. All right. So, all right. And to tag with Alistair at some point. It makes sense because they're the PWG champs right now in California. For those that don't know, Alistair Black and Brody King are your current PWG champions. So, I mean, Jerry brings up a very, very valid point with that. And I could very much so see that too. All right, so we mentioned Shane Taylor for me. I think he's probably, if I have to guess, if he's going to go anywhere away from Ring of Honor, I think MLW might be where he ends up first. But again, I personally believe that Shane has the talent, and Khan and Moses, for that matter, that whole group, O'Shea Edwards included, they could go anywhere as a group and make an impact, period. You mentioned somebody else, Jerry already mentioned him, but I think Jonathan Gresham is going to be somebody to watch out for. I mean, I think when they re-brought back the ROH Pure Tournament at the beginning of the pandemic, and he really got a chance to show what he could do in the ring, I feel like his stock has rose a bunch. I think he's a guy who would do really well in AEW because they've shown they're willing to have like the actual wrestling matches and things. I would not be mad at all if Gresham showed up there. Hell, I hope Lethal shows up there at some point too, because he's a guy who has always deserved to be on that big stage. I was shocked WWE never really took their shot. Okay, so that's number five and number four for me. Roxy is definitely on my list. Like I said, with her being so young and her being the champ over there right now, she's only 19 years old, if I'm not mistaken. And so you've got a young talent who's already good and is only going to get better once she gets to get up on like a bigger platform like that. So I definitely think that she would be a huge asset. And I think she's somebody that AEW would be stupid not to try to sign, because their women's division could use the help. And from what she's shown, she's not only got the, you know, being young in her back pocket, I also feel like for being that young, she's already very good. I'm going to go outside the box with this one. Brody King is definitely a good one. Like Jerry mentioned, I think Brody King could very well end up in AEW. Somebody that I'd really like to see show up somewhere else, you go outside. I want to see Matt Taven somewhere else. Matt Taven's pretty much been synonymous with Ring of Honor for years. He was tag team partners with past guests of the show, Mike Bennett, which you can check that out. And Maria Kanellis having to fix Mike's technical difficulties on that one. I'd really like to see Matt Taven go somewhere. I'd like to see, you know, what he could do in an AEW or he's done stuff with New Japan before. But, I mean, like I said, he'd been with Ring of Honor for a very long time. The original Kingdom had Adam Cole in it as well. So he's been there through a lot of the different stages of Ring of Honor. Anybody who's joining the stream talking about Ring of Honor and where everybody's going to end up, if you guys have any thoughts on who might end up where, let us know. Holy crap. I don't know how I forgot this guy. Brody King is one for me, but Josh Woods, bro. Josh Woods, man. I've been trying to get that dude on the show for quite a while. He's got the wrestling background, MMA background. He really shined in that Pure tournament. I'd really love to see what he could do. I think he would really thrive in a MLW-type setting or impact, because we've seen, like, Josh Alexander, who, you know, can wrestle like that as well. He did very well over there. But, I'm a big fan of Josh Woods. He's a freak athlete, looks like a million bucks. He can really fight. So there's no holes to like poke in. I think Josh Woods could definitely be a killer from Ring of Honor. Like I said, again, if you guys got any thoughts on where anybody should go with Ring of Honor, let us know in the comments. Another thing that we got to talk about before we get off wrestling and talk about UFC 267 and some of these other headlines that we got, you know, we had SmackDown, and I've said it for a while. Who gets the tape library? That's a very good thing. I don't know that anybody's going to get the tape library yet, though, because they didn't sell it to anybody. Like, technically, even though they're taking this hiatus, they say they're going to be back in April of 2022. So I don't know that they would be selling the tape library off. But, boy, if you are going to sell the tape library off, there's a lot of good shit in there for sure.
They're just pausing, right? They're not like, shutting down. It's just
a pause. So the way I understand it, at least from what I've read, they're going to finish out what they got up till Final Battle, which is their year-end pay-per-view, which is going to happen in December. Then after Final Battle, they're going to take a three-month hiatus until April. And then once April gets there, they're going to come back. Now, we don't know what that's going to look like. We don't know how revamped it is. They just said that they are changing some things around internally. So we're going to have to wait and see kind of what happens with that. But the reason I bring that up, man, is because, you know, there's just more and more rumors every time somebody's contract comes up. Another one that's been hot right now is in the WWE sphere of things is Kevin Owens going to go to AEW? What do you think, J-Bone?
I think he's going, man. There's certain guys over there that I think they look at things like, whether they say it or not, they're watching AEW, man. Especially guys like that who've been around the independents, who have
and made their best way friends, best friends with the Bucks.
Their friends are all over AEW and other places, man. These guys want to work with those guys, you know what I mean? And they're hot right now. I mean, you can't deny that fact. So, and I think it all comes down to that whole creative control thing. The fact that guys like Adam Cole and
what up, Cody Donald?
Everybody's going.
Who do you want to see go places from Ring of Honor, boss?
Everybody's getting their own creative control and having fun with it in AEW. Why wouldn't you want to go there? And they got money too. So,
Well, that's what I was going to say. That was what my point was going to be, is I don't think a lot of these guys are taking like a pay cut or anything to go to AEW. It's not like they're losing anything. They may even be gaining on their contracts, you know, moving over. Plus all the points that you had mentioned of being able to have a much bigger stake in the direction of their career. It's a huge thing. The fact that AEW is allowing these guys to go to different promotions like GCW and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It really is a big difference compared to like the big dogs in WWE.
So my thing with that too, and this is the part I feel like that people aren't really talking about as much, is like, everybody's always so quick when a company quote unquote goes under or rebrands or whatever the case. Dude, anytime like there's even the possibility that a place like Ring of Honor, like think of all the names that came out of Ring of Honor, bro. CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Tyler Black, aka Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, aka Kevin Steen, Sami Zayn, who some might confuse with El Generico. I mean, literally, you can go down the list, and I mean, dude, there's just so many fucking guys. Cesaro, I mean, shit, dude, you can, you know, the Young Bucks, Cody, I mean, dude, you just go down the list, and that's like in newer times, but I mean, so many guys like Austin Aries and all those guys were there back in the beginning of Ring of Honor, and then, like we said, the names like the Briscoes and all that. For a place like that, that has the longevity of like 20 plus years like that, for them to go down is bad for the wrestling business. It's a place that takes out one more place for people to work. And in a time where we're all talking about how it's a boom period in a lot of ways, because there's so many places for guys to work. I think that that's, no matter when it happens, it's never, never a good thing. Danhausen to AEW after his big, after his leg heals, and then Jonathan Gresham to AEW. Hey, Donald, do you know what happened to his leg? I saw something about a picture, but I just saw that whatever happened was pretty gnarly. So what happened to Danhausen's leg? I like Gresham, so I'm not mad with Gresham going anywhere either.
That part seems to be pretty unanimous across the board. Everybody who's commented has brought up his name.
Gresham's a banger, dude. Like, he's one of the best technical guys in the game, period, in my opinion.
Yeah,
he's but to ass. Answer, yeah, and I mean, to answer your question for what you were saying, I wouldn't be shocked if he goes to AEW at this point. I mean, they haven't been, you know, using him quite as well the last year or so and whatever. And I mean, look at Adam Cole. I mean, I think Kevin Owens would be another guy like a Bryan Danielson or an Adam Cole who went over there and they're like, look, I'm not going to come over here and shit all over WWE because I was grateful for my time over there. I think for Kevin Owens, it's a lot more plausible that he might go to AEW for the simple fact that now I don't think it'll be about as much about the money, and he'll still make money over here at AEW. And then now you're over here with all your best friends, and you'd have already seen the Bucks have been all over trying to tease it, like showing old pictures of him from back in the old Being the Elite episodes. Alex coming in the comments on YouTube, Jerry, you were talking about what happens to the ROH tape library. Imagine if WWE buys ROH tape. I mean, it would be dope, but I feel like if they bought Ring of Honor's tape, it would be nothing other than just to keep it away from everybody else. I don't know that they would ever put Ring of Honor stuff on like Peacock on the network, but I mean, then again, if you had it, why wouldn't you? Donald saying that Danhausen broke it at NGW, same as Mance Warner. Dude, that's the thing. I heard they both got hurt. We just saw Mance Warner. If you follow our social medias at KO3C Pod. I mean, hell, we got to kick it with him right after War Games. I mean, shout out to Danhausen and Mance Warner, the Southern Psycho, dude. I mean, hopefully quick recovery for you. Yeah, man. So I wouldn't be surprised if KO goes to SmackDown. The last thing I want to talk about before we kind of go, okay, Mance broke his ankle. The last thing I want to talk about, and Donald, I'm glad you guys are in here. Alex, I want your opinions in the comments. I've got a question to pose to both of you. So, ding, 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 ring the bell, bitch. I was there for SummerSlam. That brings up a few questions when we talk about the return of Becky Lynch, right? So, my question is, do you guys think that we're starting to see them kind of repeat the same mistake that they've all said they made back in 2001 when Stone Cold at WrestleMania 17 in Houston turned heel, or they tried to turn him heel, and it never really worked because the fans loved Stone Cold too much? Now, being at SummerSlam, even though she was beating Bianca and completely destroying the babyface that they had built for all those months, the fans went apeshit for Becky Lynch. And when you hear Becky Lynch saying things about how she had to fight back through motherhood and all those things to get back in the ring, it's not really something that you're going to take as a bad guy. So my question is, do you think that they're doing a disservice by having Becky turn heel?
I mean, it's not a great look because of all the things that you had brought up with the whole motherhood, and that's why she was out, and that's why she was unable to compete. No, it's not really a good direction. I don't feel like it's more so to with all the attention that Becky gets and deserves, it seems like, from all the wrestling fans. No, I definitely don't feel like that's the right direction. I feel like it's just kind of cheap heat, I guess you could say.
Thing is, I don't think it's going to even get the heat like they're trying to desire, man, because at the same time, you got to remember, like, when the crowd loves them so much, she can do whatever the fuck she wants. She can go out there and bash them all she wants, but they're just going to look at it as cool. Yes, 100%, because she is the perfect anti-hero. Dude, I mean, when she had that iconic shot after Nia Jax broke her fucking nose, and she's just sitting there leaking, not giving a shit, it's streaming down her face. That was like the Stone Cold face when Bret Hart put him in a sharpshooter at WrestleMania 13 and he passed out in a pool of his own blood. I mean, come on, man. That was money. I don't think you're ever going to really see a time that they're going to be healed for Becky Lynch. But that being said, the only way I could really see it right now, I've heard a lot of people say, what if they put her back together with her real life husband, Seth Rollins, now that he's doing what he's doing? That I could see. But again, will WWE do that? I think that would be a great idea. I think it would be a good way to try. If you want her to be hated, it's a way to do it. But like we were saying, this is why, if you wanted her to be a heel, I feel like she needed to lose or something so that she can go, are we going to Horror Slam versus GCW? What's the date on that one again? I've been seeing all the flyers for it. I know Alex Weir is facing somebody on there. I know Tommy Vendetta's on there. I'll be at GCW, like the actual GCW show that's going down in Detroit. I don't know if you're going down to GCW, Donald, but if you are going to be at the GCW show, make sure you come link up with us out there in the crowd. I lost my train of thought. What was I talking about?
Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch. All right. That's dang, got me off on a sidetrack. Yeah, but Becky Lynch, I could totally see, you know, that working if they put them together, but I just think Becky is so loved at this point. Like, okay, if you were going to do that, have her lose to Bianca at SummerSlam and then have her come back and be like, I fought my way back here, and because I lost one match, you know, you guys all turned on me, you guys are fickle, you guys are whatever. You know what I mean? You could have gone that way, but then to just bring her back even when she crushed Bianca, and that's my other issue. Like, if you wanted her to be the heel, why not have Bianca take the belt off her, which I'm sure probably very well could be where they're going later on with it. But it just, I feel like, again, it's a very good comparison when you talk about the Stone Cold comparison with what's going on with Becky Lynch, because from all reports, it looks like it was supposed to have been Sasha Banks to be the big heel for Bianca Belair after their match at WrestleMania, but it's being reported that she had to go away to go do The Mandalorian. So, like I say, they kind of, I don't know if it's because they made do with what they had, but to me, I think Becky Lynch always will be a babyface, and I think it may be very reminiscent of the Stone Cold thing, where eventually the fans just say, well, fuck you, I'm not booing you, and then they eventually just give up on it.
Yeah. I think so too. I also think they don't have the, because she can be a good heel, but I don't think they have the depth for the women faces to have. You know what I mean? Every heel's got to have a face, right? You got to have a hero.
Well,
villain type
think about like, that. Well, that's a perfect point. Like Alex is bringing up in the comments, he said, safe to say Liv is winning the Royal Rumble and seeing her face to face with Becky last night. Okay, now I can see that. I can see that. I hope they do something with Liv because I thought it was kind of bogus how they pretty much they did this whole big vignette and all this shit for Liv Morgan and then like nothing. Like literally, they put her special out on the WWE Network and then she wasn't even on TV that week. I would like to see it. I hope that we can see something out of that. Somehow, I think her and Becky are going to end up crossing paths. I don't know if it'll be the Royal Rumble, but she wouldn't be a bad pick to do it. And if they really are going to push Liv, I mean, the Royal Rumble is always a good way to do it. Donald coming in the comments, letting us know what we're going to see at Horror Slam versus GCW on Wednesday, November 11th. Jason Hotch, who you might have seen on AEW Dark and all those things, versus our past guest of our show, the weaponized Alex Weir, Tommy Vendetta, and Aaron O'Ryan of DTA are going to be scrapping. Man, we love DTA over here, but hot damn, for them being a bunch of homies, man, they sure fight a lot within their own group. Then you've got MM3, The Process, Malcolm Monroe facing Jordan Oliver and Trey Miguel, who two out of the three of those guys happen to be past guests on this show, being Trey Miguel and The Process, MM3. And, yeah, I mean, from what I can see, you ain't lying. They've got a hell of a lineup on this one. Like I said, it's on a Thursday. I might just have to see if I can make an appearance out of that one since Thursday happens to be one of my off days. I might just have to come check out Horror Slam versus GCW. Besides, I mean, Donald, you more than anybody has been clamoring for us to bring Tommy Vendetta on here for quite a, you know, to bring Tommy Vendetta on here for quite a while. So maybe I'll have to make my way out to GCW and go talk to Mr. Vendetta. Look, man, it's I just feel like if they're not careful, dude, they're going to cause themselves a big problem. I feel like if they're not careful, they're going to cause themselves a big problem with Becky Lynch. All right. Well, we've talked about some wrestling, but since we're talking about subscribe buttons, which, hey, make sure you hit that motherfucking subscribe button if you haven't already done so. I just want to give a big shout out to everybody that supports Knockouts and Three Counts and all the new viewers who apparently have seen the clip of our interview with Jamal Sweet Dreams Hill. That being said, there's been a lot of talk on our social media and, you know, in the comments on that clip with us giving Jamal the platform to be able to talk about some of the things that were going on around that time, like the George Floyd situation and a lot of that stuff that was going on. And I'm just going to get it out here for any and everybody. Look, man, our show is not about politics, never has been, never will be, and I'm not ever going to let it go off into that point. But I will never, I repeat, never censor our guests for talking about something that's prominent in the day and time and is relevant to what we're talking about. And that question was completely warranted, being the fact that with him being in the UFC, we were trying to see, did he feel any extra pressure to kind of help, you know, spread the word with all those things. So for all of you guys like Donald, thank you for sharing out that post, man, that rock with us. Just saying, we do not censor our guests over here. Like I said, if it's topical and it's relevant to what we're talking about, we're going to talk about it. So we appreciate you guys. Donald, I appreciate that, kind sir. We try to be pumping out the good content out here. Like I said, you guys got to stay tuned. We got the main man, James Lynch, this Thursday to talk about UFC 268. Before we can get to UFC 268, though, we skipped over 267. So we got to talk about some of the headlines that came out of UFC 267. Before we get into the card, I mean, Uriah Faber signs another contract.
Very surprised when I heard about that. It's my news. I mean, he said he wanted another fight, And knowing him, that means if he wins, he wants a shot at the title. But with that being said, I'm always down for a California kid fight, even if the kid's coming up on like 42 or 43 now. I always like the California kid and Uriah Faber. So let's hope for the best. I feel like he did good when he came back the last time, fought Ricky Simone and then fought Petre Yan before he was the champ. I thought he did pretty well for himself. So I wouldn't mind seeing him again. And I know he's still very active coaching at Team Alpha Male. So he's definitely still very involved in the game. So it makes sense in a way.
I mean, he's definitely still helping out there. I mean, helping coach guys like our past guests of the show and on this past season of The Ultimate Fighter. You know, Vince Murdoch trains with Uriah quite a bit. I got no problem with Uriah coming back, but my thing is, I think it just all depends on who they put him in there with.
Yeah.
I don't really think we're going to see another title run. What the hell? Okay, I could see that. You know, and that was a fight that he mentioned. Look at you. Alex is coming in clutching the motherfucking comments. Faber versus O'Malley. I like that fight.
Yep, that would be a great test for O'Malley, especially because they keep giving him some of these, you know, underknown, except for when he fought, why is his name escape me? God, who did he fight with the mustache? Why can't I think of his name right now? Crazy curly mustache. Eddie Weidland.
Yeah.
When he fought.
Okay.
Yeah, when he fought Weidland. That was pretty much the only well-known name that he fought, really. And he was also notorious for keeping his hands down. So he fought Cheeto. That didn't go his way. And so now he's climbing his way back up. I'm a big O'Malley fan, but I love that matchup. That would be perfect, honestly, because that would be like a real solidifying his way into the top 10, top 5 of the division. So I'd love to see that.
I don't know. What are you thinking about Uriah Faber coming back, J-Bone?
Man, I've never been a fan of those guys coming back like that. Like, I wasn't cool with like the whole Anderson Silva thing, you know, all that. Only because I like these guys. Like, I think Uriah Faber is the shit, dude. I don't want to see him go in there and let's say he gets knocked out. Be a shell of
himself.
Yeah, and it's just not the same. Let's say he gets put out cold, man, and then we got to sit there and blame it on age, and I don't want to do that.
I agree in that regard because I really hate when fighters that I like or have had – even if I haven't been a fan of them throughout their career, the fact that they have this amazing record and then come back or do something late in their career and then to end up tainting that record. And then a lot of the newer fans only end up knowing them for their losses. Like, yeah. Look at somebody like Rashad Evans. Like, if you know, me, you, all three of us, we're like, yeah, you think of Rashad, you think of his glory days. But you talk to somebody who's a younger fan, they think about when Anthony Smith knocked him out.
Yeah,
you know?
So exactly. It's like, perfect example.
It's rough.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, like I say, it'll be interesting to see where Uriah goes with this one. That being said, again, before we get into this is in UFC 267, but can we talk about the worst referee of all time real quick?
I don't think he deserved that award quite yet.
Hell yes, he did.
No.
Hell yes, he did. He almost let that man get killed.
Yeah. I've seen people on some fights, Kyle, be choked the fuck out, be full asleep
for
like 35, 40
seconds. At that level, though?
Oh, no, he looks fine, dude. Look at
him. At that level, though?
I know. To that degree, the only one comparable is maybe Mario Yamasaki.
I've never even seen Yamasaki let someone get the shit beat out of him like that. He just missed calls.
That was rough. I don't even want to defend the guy because it was.
If you guys watched UFC 267, did you see that horrible ass referee? Did you see the bum that let Santini just get the living hell beat out of him for three rounds?
I don't want to defend the guy at all because he doesn't deserve it.
But you're going to.
There was well reason why the UFC had him removed from the rest of the night.
They didn't. It was the commission. That's the thing. Yeah,
the referees commission that had him.
Yeah, well, the
it wasn't even.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's the thing. It wasn't even.
I know why it went down like that. I know why. Huh. The guy had big money on a decision victory on DraftKings. That's the only thing I can.
I'm gonna take this bitch. I'm gonna give him every chance in the world to win. He can't lose. I gotta win my money.
That's all I can come up with, because I could even see that dude was like way done with four, man. Like, what's going on here? It was hard to watch, man, at some point.
On multiple occasions, too. It wasn't like one different time. But the only thing I can say to it is he was defending himself at points. He would get back in the fight and
try. He would do just enough when the guy would start grabbing him. But
yeah.
Well, who's to say he wasn't getting pinched in and out? He probably got hit and he'd come back too.
Dude, he definitely got knocked out and woke back up by more punches.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible, especially for a young athlete making their UFC debut. It's one thing if you're talking about like a top five title contention bout or something like that. But for somebody just making their debut, man, you hate to see that type of stuff. You really do.
Not only that, but dude, fuck just the fact that it's his debut. Like, I mean, I wouldn't, dude, that's just dangerous for the fighters. If you can't be competent as a referee, dude, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I was there the night when Gabriel Gonzaga knocked out that dude and looked at Herb Dean. And's like, what do you want me to do? Looks at him and then boom, boom, just knocks his ass out. Like after, you know, like with the delay like that. And that wasn't even one of those, bro. There you go. Zalecki Dos Santos did great. He needs to rank the potent next. He's not elite, but he's entertaining. I mean, dude, definitely no hate on Dos Santos at all. Like, Dos Santos did his job.
Yeah, he did exactly what he was supposed to do, especially against somebody, like I said, making their UFC debut. He looked absolutely dominant and realistically won two or three fights in that one fight because of all the should have been stops. But I absolutely agree with that point. We definitely need to see him climb up, fight somebody in the top 15 or
I just maybe hope,
the outside edges, I guess you could say.
Shit, I just hope man, that guy better not ever be allowed to like ref another fight again. All right. Let's get into UFC 267. We're not going to be able to go through all the prelims, but we definitely have a lot to talk about news-wise for the UFC 267 card. In my opinion, I mean, from top to bottom, dude, it was really a banger card. I mean, Corey, what were other than the shitty refereeing of that dummy, what were your overall thoughts out of UFC 267?
I know we're not going to go through the previews or prelims, so I'm just going to name Lerone Murphy with that flying knee knockout in the beginning of the second round.
That was dirty.
That was nasty.
Dude. Was fucking nasty to get controlled by Amir Markani and then just to immediately go out in the second round. Like, we're not doing that again. Here, eat this. It was like, that was next level shit. But if we're talking main card, the thing that stood out to me as somebody who had went into the card making my pick for Corey Sandhagen, as much as I share a name with him, so I love picking people that share a name with me.
His name's Corey. I like him too.
That being said, it really, the standout of the night was how good Petrayan looked, man. He really led the dance that whole fight other than the first round. But, I mean, realistically, after seeing that, all he did was download everything he needed to do to win the rest of the fight. And he did that amazingly. I mean, I don't want to skip forward in the card because I know we get some earlier points. But for a
Tiger is a problem at flyweight, Khabib's coach of the year 2021. I mean, dude, Khabib pretty much just said, I'm going to put the belt down and then let my guys all come to the UFC and then take
it. He's undefeated. Isn't he undefeated as a coach right now?
I think he lost that record.
Would that be some shit?
I forget who.
Well, lost. They got a lot of Khabib's guys that are out here as a problem. So
yeah. I mean, anybody who's under the tutelage of somebody like Khabib, who already has somewhat of a wrestling style, or somebody who's very good at striking and then is implementing a Khabib game to that, there's a reason why he's such a great coach. I mean, he's done great himself. So, but my thoughts on the night, if I'm going to sum it up, even though it was a daytime card, we'll call it the night, is what a great pay-per-view that wasn't paid to view. That was awesome from the USC to do that. I know they're doing that just because of the fact that New York is the week after and they can't kind of do pay-per-view after pay-per-view literally 2 weeks in a row. But to give that thing away with the amount of fights, the gold that was contested in two different bouts, it was awesome, man. It really was a shining showcase for a lot of the Russian fighters, like our guest Thursday had said. Why can't I think of his name?
Josh Fremd.
No, not Tuesday, Thursday. Your buddy.
Ethan. My bad. Ethan! I saved him from throwing a lawnmower through somebody's front window. You need to go back and watch and listen to that, and and you'll see why I'm a good friend, not only to watch our show, but I make sound decisions.
You need to not go back and watch that, because I definitely picked with my heart in every one of those fucking picks on that night. Let me say that. I did not do well.
Come on, Mr. MMA expert.
I am glad I am not a betting man. I definitely leaned with my heart in some of those. And people like...
I thought we bet $20 on that on the Hooker fight. I remember we did that on the air.
Yeah.
And you lost. That's
how confident I was.
And you lost.
I lost all my picks, I think, except for...
You heard it. He owes me $20. Alex, you're in the comments.
I think the only one that I picked right was the... No, I think I picked them all fucking wrong.
Yeah, Kathy's right. Me and Ethan both said the Russians would dominate the night. But, hey, you heard it. Kathy, you heard it here. Did he... Oh, see, she heard it. You heard it. She heard it. Corey bet me $20. When I see him, I'll make sure he gives me the $20. I will take a picture with said $20. And that's why you got to follow us at KO3C Pod so that you can see my picture with said $20.
I correct myself. I did have the opening fight of the pay-per-view right. Magomed and Kalayev. I picked that one right. God damn it, I got one right.
You went against
Now look at Kathy trying to get her cut. You see this? She wants her cut. What? So because you're the witness, I got to break you off half the money? That's how this works? She's taking her half for reminding your ass you made the bet. Oh, man. Ain't that some shit? I lost some money because, I mean, to be 100% transparent, I'm glad that it's been acknowledged that Corey lost that bet, because I bet another $25 on those fights, because when I saw the odds on Dan Hooker, I could not take it, because I'm like, man, if he somehow manages to knock his ass out, oh my God, I'm about to win me a grip, because it was 7-1. Yeah. 7-1 odds on it. I'm like, shit, I'll throw $15 on it. Hell, I put some money on Sandhagen to win too. If you guys bet it all on UFC 267, who'd you bet on? Alex coming through in the comments too. Peter Yan is unbreakable at 135. No one's beating him at bantamweight except maybe Henry Cejudo. So are you saying that you already think it's a foregone conclusion, Alex, that he's going to beat Aljo when they run his back?
I feel like that's a pretty unanimous from all of MMA Twitter and every MMA fan. It seems like a pretty unanimous thought that, especially with the version that we've seen this last Saturday, it's going to be real hard to compete with that guy. It really is. And I feel like Aljo, he has a shot. He definitely does, especially the way he's able to cinch up submissions so quickly and stuff. If he comes in good shape, I feel like he definitely has some shot for sure. But after seeing the way that first match played out, unless he's able to snatch up something quickly, it's going to be rough. I feel like that would be another hard fight for him, for real.
Look, man, there's no way you can't not show respect to Peter Yan, bro. Peter Yan beat the shit out of Corey Sandhagen. It was a good fight, but man... It was a good fight, but I feel like he clearly, like, and you know what? Before I even give my thought, respect to Sandhagen, because when they came out and straight up asked him, like, do you think you won the fight? No, not really. Like straight up, like he beat me, you know, but that was a war. They banged it out, because if you look at the stats, Sandhagen actually outstruck Petr Yan too. So, like I said, I think Yan, I mean, if I'm being honest, I think Yan very well could beat Aljamain Sterling. But okay, here's okay, and Alex coming in the comments, Yan beats Aljo and TJ next year.
Yeah. That's what I think the path is going to be as well.
But here's the question, though, dude. Do you guys realize that his only two losses are both to him doing illegal shit like that knee?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, he lost to one of the Russian guys early in his career who fights in Bellator now. It was a submission loss, if I'm not mistaken. But that was early in his career, though.
Like, my thing is, dude, fights. Here's my thing. I think he's going to beat Aljo. I think a lot of what we saw in the last fight is kind of how that's eventually going to play out. TJ, I think, is going to be a little more interesting to me, because I think the mix in TJ's striking and the fact that he can actually wrestle a bit, I think that's what makes that fight different. But yeah, Yan's gonna be a problem. Like I said, I am not by any means talking shit about the man's skills as a fighter. I just don't like that he's making fun of the fact that he blatantly illegally needs somebody like that. I just think that's kind of whack. But just my take on it. With that being said, all right, so we talked about a few of these things. Now let's talk about one of the big, the first big highlight out of this one, in the fight between Ling Jing Liang, who also fought past guest of the show, Bobby motherfucking Nash. You know, go check out that episodes back in the archives, before Bobby tries to go take this XFC, welterweight belt. But yeah, Jing Liang, we know him as a banger. He'll get in there and scrap. He ain't scared of anybody. And then you've got him in there with the young killer, Kazmat Chimaev. And God, Chimaev mauled that man.
How the hell is he four fights in his UFC career and absorbed one strike? How? Yeah. How? Dude. I mean, like, realistically, like, I seen somebody, I wish I could give credit to it, but it was a Twitter post scrolling through my feed. And they basically compared it to like a pitcher throwing a no-hitter in four consecutive games. Like, or a, like, name the biggest sports achievement. He did that four times in a row. I mean, the ability to go into a fight with somebody who's trained at the level that he's competing at in the UFC and to go in there and just completely dominate people. I mean, if you're not on the train, you kind of have to be now, right?
I'm not.
And you talk about, go ahead.
So I'm not going to bet against him on anything, dude.
Well, you talk about no fucks given, J-Bone. I mean, listen to what he said when he got on the microphone. I'm here to kill everybody. Yeah. I'm here to kill everybody. Yeah. Not that, beat them. I'm here to kill everybody.
And that's what like leads into the next question. Who's going to stop him? Who's going to – you think this? Who's going to stop him, dude? I don't know.
Does especially he get a title shot next? Back.
No, I don't think so. No. I you got to give him a top 10 fight, though. Why not? The dude's going to draw money. Everybody wants to see him. Yeah, why not? What's he, welterweight, right?
Yeah.
So who's out there? Muhammad?
Well, Kareem? You got Usman versus Colby Covington, which we're going to talk about on Thursday. We're going to talk about them fights on Thursday with James Lynch. So make sure you hit that subscribe button.
That's the two names I've seen thrown around the most, though. If you want to talk about one being Bilal Muhammad, I've seen his name thrown around a bunch in that kind of Kazmat sweepstakes, and then him and Neil Magny. I feel like Neil Magny.
Dude, he'll beat the hell out of Neil Magny.
You want to know what's going to draw some money? Give him Jorge Masvidal. Fuck it. Why not?
Or they're talking about I also seen rumblings of possibly him versus Nate Diaz as his
there it last is. Fight. We're talking money fights, dude, regardless of ranking. That those fights
right I could
there,
see them doing that to make huge. Nate get his ass whipped on his way out the company.
Yeah, just because of the kind of like rumblings of him trying to do his own thing and get the hell out of the UFC and stuff, I could definitely see them being like,
shoot
all right,
to the dog, man. Well, here's shoot your fight to the then. Dog.
I mean, it's hard not to say that. I mean, great performance from Chimaev. I'm definitely interested to see, you know, what he's got next. I just want to say, I told you so, Alexander Volkov. Me and Ethan were right, Kathy. Yep. You heard it right. The damn Russians. The Russians are coming.
To your guys' point, to go back to our picks, how the hell does Marcin Tybura not shoot for more takedowns, not try to implement his wrestling more when that's what he's known for is grounding people out? He didn't even fucking try to do that against a 7 foot tall
guy. I told you so.
Why?
Grab a limb, dude. Grab a limb and hold on.
See, you got to grab one of these. See, I got the bones here. You can see what they look like. Grab it, turn it upwards, armbar.
The whole point that I had made on Thursday's show was he was going to ground him out. He's been doing so great in his last five fights. That's why he was on the winning streak, is because he was able to implement his wrestling. And then he didn't do it. None of it. Not a bit of what I said. He tried to outstrike somebody who had like a 12-inch reach advantage or some dumb shit. And it didn't work out. Who would have guessed? I mean, you try to fight a world-class kickboxer in kickboxing and not implement your wrestling all fight, it tends to not go your way. I don't know why that is, but it just doesn't work that way.
Like I said, that one, I kind of thought going into that one, I thought his striking would be the difference because I didn't really think he was going to take him down like that. And it went just like I told you it would. But the next fight went exactly how I said it would, which is why Corey owes me 20 motherfucking bucks. But, yeah, if you got 20 bucks, get you one of them knockouts and three count shirts, shoot us a DM right now. But with that being said, Islam Makhachev went out there and fucked Dan Hooker's world up. Like, he walked out there, and you talk about Khabib. We keep talking about Khabib, and Kathy's in the comments talking about the damn Russians and all that. Look, Khabib has come out and put his stamp on this guy and said he's going to be the next world champion. That's high praise from a guy who didn't even really get touched in the UFC, and when he's putting his stamp on you saying he's the next champ, I think Makhachev is going to be he's going to be a problem because he made Dan Hooker look like a straight amateur.
Yeah. That I've heard rumblings of him potentially getting a title shot after this. I don't think that should be the case. I think he should have one more fight before that. Even though he was able to do like everything he wanted against somebody who fought somebody who is fighting in the title fight to their limit, and Dustin Poirier, that fight with him and Dan Hooker was absolutely amazing. And could have went either way towards the end. Dustin was able to take over, but you talk about somebody who was at the top of the division and Dan Hooker, even though he was on a bit of a skid before his last one, Islam really poured it on him. It was thoroughly impressive. It really was the fact that he just was able to implement everything he wanted. I was really going for Dan, as I know a lot of MMA fans were, and it was unfortunate. Is the best way to describe it, but the rise of Islam is going to be something to watch in these next couple fights, man. He looked great out there, and I feel like that's just going to continue unless maybe like a Charles Oliveira might be able to snatch him in some submission, because his game is, he's got the most submissions in the UFC for a reason, right? But other than that, at the top of the division, man, I feel like he really could run through a lot of those guys. Maybe a Michael Chandler would give him problems, maybe because of the anti-wrestling in Chandler, but that maybe. It's hard to say.
Could he potentially get the winner of Chandler and Gaethje?
Well, no, I think they already said the winner of them is getting the title shot, I think.
Well, from what I've heard, because Justin took the time out and stuff like that, if Justin's the winner, he's going to get into the title shot. if Chandler wins, if Chandler one win.
Okay, so if Chandler wins, let him fight Makhachev. Otherwise, I mean, if Gaethje was supposed to get the next title shot, I mean, he lost to you know, he lost to Khabib, so I wouldn't be mad. Have him and Makhachev fight. Have Makhachev fight the winner. I got no problem with that. With that being said, talking about the plan, Father's plan continues through Khabib and his soldiers. Just saying. But, all right, we're to the fight. Petrion versus Corey Sandhagen. We've talked about it a little bit. Petrion definitely shows that he's the number one guy in the world right now at 135, unless you're talking about Aljamain Sterling. At this point, that's the only fight to make.
It really is.
I mean, it's the only fight to make. Until that fight is over with, we're never going to be able to, like, get through it. Now, it sucks for a guy like Jan because that means he's going to have to be on the shelf for quite a while because that fight's not going to be able to be put together because Aljo's still recovering from surgery. But, look, man. I don't feel like there's any other fight for it. And if I'm Petrion, I'm not fighting again until I get Aljo.
Well, from the media posts that I've seen from Aljo, he's targeting February or March as his, like, I feel comfortable doing that.
Well, so then if he's case, saying,
that's not too bad of a turnaround, really.
No, if you're saying February or March, I'm not doing shit until I get to fight Aljo. Just my opinion.
Yeah.
J-Bone, what do you think? You waiting it out?
Might as well. I don't think it matters either way. Jan's going to steamroll that dude. The second time around, he's got nothing.
I feel like there's things that Aljo can learn from the way he implemented his first title fight. The fact that he went out there fucking balls deep in the first round and just gave all of his energy and was gassed going into the second, which is not something we typically see from Aljo. We've seen him go five rounds many times and look, you know, very cardio is his friend in a lot of those fights. If anything, that's one of the things he kind of leans on later in fights. So to see that wear on him so early, I feel like is definitely something we can see him improve on for sure. There's a couple different technical aspects. I feel like some of the things Corey Sandhagen was able to do with the wrestling, mixing it in later in the fight and not being so predetermined with it, I guess you could say, it would help. But I feel like a lot of that was also Corey just being the taller guy and kind of bullying Peter around when they got close. So I don't know if Aljo will be able to implement that so much. It's going to be a tough fight either way, man. I have been an Aljo fan for years and years, and it's going to be a tough fight, man. I hope.
Yo, brain jerk Josh. Yo, man, check him out. He's already got the live streams on and pop and wake up and roll one, all that good stuff. What up, brother, man? I appreciate it. He says Jan all day. I agree with you, dude. I especially after what we saw, I think Jan is going to definitely beat Aljo. In this fight, though, I got to give credit. Dude, oh my God, this is going to sound so bad, but is Corey Sandhagen maybe the best loser that there is? Because like he like went in there and had another great fight, and then it, I feel like, didn't make himself look bad again, but again, still lost.
Yeah, that's that. Honestly, so I seen this thing, right? In his last five fights, he's actually 2-3, right? And when you think about Corey Sandhagen, you do not think of a 2-3 fighter, right? Like, we can all agree on that, right? He's looked amazing in his last five fights. So how does his record indicate this, but then his skill set and what we're able to see and him being able to still climb to the belt while having the bit of the struggles that he is? Yeah, you could argue, like, in the UFC right now, he is the best loser that there is because of the fact, like, I hate to imply that title on somebody. And
I'm not calling him a loser. I'm just saying he's the only guy I can think of right off the top of my head that even in a loss still makes everybody still want to see him fight because he gets in there and fights with everybody. And he still improves every time he gets in the cage. Yeah. It was a great and here's the thing. Newsflash, people, check the stats. Corey Sandhagen actually outstruck Peter Yan too, if we're being honest. So, I mean, great fight between those two dudes. Yeah. I think Petrion's ground pressure and just them body, I mean, the body shots from both of them, the body kicks and body shots were just gnarly. great fight by both guys. I don't think this fight's going to hurt Sanhagen too much, but man, he's definitely going to have to get him a dub in the next fight. All right. Now, let's talk about this main event. First of all, if I can do half of that at 42, I am all the way with it. Because, like, to go in there and win the world championship at 42 years old, and then he dominated Jan Błachowicz, bro. Mm-hmm.
To go from talking about how good one Jan did in Petrojan to go from another Jan in Jan Błachowicz, yeah, that was – he did not show up.
Because he didn't spell his Jan with a Y.
he did not show up on the night, and I hate to see it from the Polish power, man. I feel like that's not, like, a traditional showing from the guy, especially now that he's made his way to the title bout. I don't know. He just had his kid. I don't know if that interfered or anything with his training camp, not making any excuses for the guy. I don't know if he overlooked Glover and thought.
I don't think so, because if you watch the embedded, he even made that a point to, like, bring up, because, like, his family was all there with him, but, like, he flew up in first class and, like, they were, like, he was separated, like, the whole time to kind of,
well,
you know, deal with
it. I don't know then if it's just a case of he thought it was going to be an easier fight than it was. He thought that his skills were superior all around, and he thought he was just going to be able to do his thing and avoid takedowns, essentially. But as soon as we seen that takedown as early as we did within the first minute of that first round, I knew it was
so did be we, bro.
An issue.
So did we. We all picked Jan Błachowicz, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Although I did say I thought that there was a good chance Glover could do it. If when we all made our picks, we all picked him.
Yeah, because Glover always stands a chance. He's a fighter that throughout his career has always stood a chance in every one of his fights. He never really gets knocked out. He never goes out. He may once in a while lose a fight, but in the last like 3 to 4 or 5 years, I can't really think of any times that he has. He's looked amazing, man. He really has as of late. It took him a long time to get to the belt just because of the age, realistically. If he was a younger fighter, I feel like he would have been fighting for this belt a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. But he had to almost double prove himself because of his age. And then to do what he was able to do in that title bout once he was able to get there, how do you doubt that guy? I mean, the only way you can doubt him is the fact that his next fight's Jiří Procházka. That's the only reason you can doubt him is the fact that that next fight's fucking going to
be. But he didn't even back down from that. He got on the mic and he's like, I don't care. I'll fight whoever. If it's Jiří, I'll fight for whoever. I'll fight whoever. And I think he's really about it.
I know.
Glover is about that life. I've been rocking with Glover since the days of the Tap Out show. And like Corey said, I mean, how could you have a better story than Glover? I mean, this guy couldn't get in here and spent most of his prime over in Brazil when he was one of the main sparring partners for a prime Chuck Liddell. Chuck Liddell was that guy back in the days of the light heavyweight division's heyday. And for him to have been giving Chuck a run for his money, could you imagine what he had done to a lot of the guys who were in the UFC back then? So for him to come in and get it, and his birthday was this week. What a hell of a birthday present. I mean, hot damn. Shout out to Glover Teixeira. Jiří Procházka is definitely going to be a tough fight for Glover. I mean, I think Jan will bounce back, but I mean, it sucks for Jan too, because it's going to take a lot from his title reign, because really he essentially beat like two puffed up 185ers.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I mean, if we're really being honest, I mean, no disrespect to Izzy Adesanya.
Not Dominic Reyes. Dominic Reyes is a true 205.
Or no, he did beat Reyes, excuse me. So he beat the other big name. The biggest name that he beat, though, was a puffed up 185er.
Yeah.
What do you guys think is next for him? Who's going to fight next?
And he, talking about the puffed up nature of when you're referring to Israel Adesanya here, he jokingly stood on the scale with a pizza and shit talking about Yeah. I didn't even try to get to 205. I just didn't. He weighed in at like 202 or 203, I think. And that was just like literally not trying to gain towards it or be bigger and then cut down or anything like that. So that to take away, I guess, even more from it. But Jan's an incredible fighter. I do think we see him bounce.
He's
back.
Great.
You think it takes one fight for him to come back and get that title shot again?
Because he's not the most exciting guy, I think it'll take at least two.
Depends. It depends on who he fights and how he looks in it. If he goes out there and does what he did to like a Corey Anderson or something and just starches somebody with one punch, then yeah, I could see him coming back, especially if Glover does lose his title and retire, then I could definitely see that being the case. But for them to run that back that fast, like after one match, it was a super dominant fight, man. I mean, we could definitely see it playing out different ways, but it did play out the way it did. So you got to work your way to if Glover's still going to be the champ, that is.
Well, man, there's a lot for us to talk about in the world of MMA. Obviously, we're going to be talking all things UFC 268 this Thursday at 7 p.m. with James Lynch. We're going to be giving you our picks and predictions. Maybe you should follow my picks and not Corey's picks if you're trying to bet on DraftKings. But just saying.
I'm going to need you to shoot me a text with your picks.
You don't want the picks that I actually played on DraftKings. I actually cheated the system because I won by beating him. So now he owes me $20. So technically, I only lost five bucks. I technically only lost $5 on my bets because then when we link up this Friday, he's got 20 bones on the last bet. So technically, I was only really out $5 on my bets on draft.
You're already doing better than I did. So I need some insight from you.
Well, that's why I said you got to come through for the fights. Ethan, you got to come through for the fucking fights. This Saturday, we're going to be watching it, Madison Square Garden. If you guys are watching this, let us know what fights you're looking forward to at UFC 268. Like I said, James Lynch will be joining us to damn, Kathy is really trying to get her cut. 15 after you send me my 10. Wait a minute. I mean, I'll send you your 10 as long as I get some more of those Dive Bar Nutrition protein bars, man. I had the berry one last night before I went to the gym and did legs and shit. Man, that boy was fire. If you feel so inclined, I like the nutrition bars. I definitely will gladly eat more of them and stuff in my face. But with that being said, Alex coming back in the comment. Kamaru versus Cosmat will happen. Biggest pay-per-view next year. Dude, that's about as big a fight as you can make at welterweight.
It very well could because the fact that 70 is not like the most stacked division. It's got a couple of contenders that are making their way towards the top, but with how impressive he's looked and the media following that he's got like on his social medias and stuff already, it is just incredible. Like his numbers are ridiculous. He's got a worldwide following, so I could definitely see that being the case where he fights one more bigger name and then is scurried into that title fight.
Since you mentioned Nate Diaz, though, I'd really love to see that now. Now that I think about that more often, like I want to see Nate Diaz and him go at it, dude. That'd be dope.
It would be dope, but I feel like that's not the fight for Nate Diaz on his way out.
Hey, he's shocked the world before. He's done it before, man.
He has.
Hey, man, Kathy says she's looking forward to Usman. I'm definitely looking forward to talking a little bit more about this fight. Definitely want to pick the brain of James Lynch on that one because the other interesting question with that fight is, you know, if Colby loses again to Usman, I mean, what the hell is Colby going to do? Because he waited around all this time to fight Usman again. He's going to have to work his way back up. And at that point, who then do you have him fight? Because you're not going to just reinsert him over Cosmat.
But a lot of people in 170 have been calling him out. I know, like you had referenced, he's kind of been sitting out and stuff, but there's always that Jorge Masvidal fight that a ton of fans have been wanting.
I'm totally down with it.
That's what I'm saying. There's Bilal Muhammad's been blowing him up after every victory. That's his first call out. If he comes off another win, he's already kind of climbing into that top five of the division. I could definitely see that being the case. Gilbert Burns has called him out a bunch of times.
Hearing is Gilbert Burns and Cosmat. So, I feel like that'd be a banger.
Well, Gilbert versus Cosmat would be a fun one as well, but even him versus Colby, I feel like would be a great fight. You know, the Brazilian like wrestling striking style against the American.
They all hate this guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Everybody wants to punch that guy. Dude.
That guy should be the one with Dan Lambert right now on AEW. Because for those that don't know, Colby was on TV back in the day with Impact. I mean, shit. He's the one that needs to be with Dan Lambert because Dan Lambert clearly doesn't give a shit about what he says on TV, and then you put Colby's dumbass on TV, man, I think you let him and MJF go head-to-head on the mic. Good Lord almighty. That would be, holy geez. Somebody would like that. I bet you they probably make one of each other cry. But before we get out of here, J-Bone, let us know what you got cooking on the J-Bone show, bro. I know, man. You just dropped a new episode. You still won't invite me on your show, but let everybody know what they can expect from the new episode of the J-Bone show.
Well, all right. So, well, tonight's episode, I know a lot of my stuff's about music. That's why I've always said that music is my thing, man. You could turn on the J-Bone show in your car, in your bed, and you're working out. It doesn't matter. I'm going to talk some shit on there, and I'm going to play you the baddest jams around. That's for sure. But this specific episode I dropped tonight, man, it had a lot to do with the Halloween Kills thing. Some people inboxed me and they wanted me to talk about that. And I just let them have it, dude. I mean, what can I say? I don't know.
Well, we talked about this a little bit. I went to go see this. I watched it both on Peacock and watched it at the movie theater with company and all those good things. I want to talk. I'll give you a chance to give people a little sneak peek of what they're going to find on the J-Bone show, because I heard some of these things these people were talking about with Halloween Kills. So what are we talking about?
So there's two specific things in the movie. So people are highly upset about the firefighter scene. Spoiler alert, he kills some firefighters. If you haven't seen the movie, that's just what happened.
Those firefighters, for the record, did the worst job of defending themselves. Like, stop! Right. I'm going to spray you! Stop! I'm going to spray you! Yeah. And it didn't work.
It didn't work. But people are just going crazy because they feel like it's disrespectful to the firefighters, the people that protect us. And
cops got killed in every Michael Myers movie, and they even showed how the cop shot the cop shot the other cop through the fucking throat.
Right. Nobody says anything. There is legit a petition out there to have this scene removed from the movie.
Oh Lord.
Now, and there, to keep going further, there is a gay couple in the movie, in the film. They live in the Myers house. Ballsy motherfuckers, if you ask me, they're probably the toughest dude in the whole movie. But they get killed too. So now they're describing Michael Myers as homophobic. So they are signing petitions to get that.
Okay, hold on. Hold on a minute.
So
wait. Hold on a minute. As I just said, Knockouts and Three Counts does not discriminate. What you do is what you do. I ain't mad at you. But I have to vehemently disagree with that. For the simple fact, out of everybody that dies in that movie, spoiler alert, the gay guys were more badass about it than anyone else who got killed by Michael Myers. They at least got up and fought back. Even all the tough guys with guns just sat there, I'm going to shoot at him, and he missed every time. At least the gay guys got up and went out like some G's. And I mean, okay, so they laid him together when he was dead, but at least they fought. At least they didn't make him look all feminine couldn't fight at all.
My point on it, right, is wouldn't they be more mad if they weren't included in the movie? Isn't that
that's what I'm
that,
saying?
That like and the not whole, even like argument with the LGBTQ plus community is that they want to be included in films. In a horror movie, people die. That's like the way that is always.
And they may let them go out tough. It's not like they like made them look all girly when they went out. Right. You know what I mean? Like that's what I don't get. Like I could have saw somebody getting mad about that. And if anybody who's watching this, if you watch Halloween Kills, please give us your thoughts in the comments. But no, dude, like my whole thing with that is that it would have been one thing if like Michael shows up in the house and they just do what they make out to be like the stereotype for gay guys in those movies where, oh my God, and run away. No, these guys actually fought against them. Both of them.
And I don't feel like they brought any type of negative attention towards
the none gay
by any means. No, I think if anything,
they only use little subtleties to let you know they were gay.
Right. Right. And honestly, it's not like Michael Myers is a fictional character, whether how into it you are or not.
Shocking news.
Newsflash, he's not fucking real. I hope as somebody walks behind me or something. But dude, it's a movie. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a real.
It's a movie and a slasher movie where they all die. Why aren't we getting mad about the guy who jumped out the fucking window?
Yeah, he's not picking and choosing who he's killing. He's just going to kill whoever's in fucking front of him. That's just what he does, man. Whether you're a fighter.
Look, man, on both of these, whether we're talking about them discriminating against gay people or what was the other one that they were talking about, the firefighters. Look, bro, those firefighters did not deserve to die, but the way they fought back, they didn't do themselves any favors, bro. I'm just saying, stop, I'm spraying you, isn't going to help with the big-ass dude with that's breaking people's necks and everything. And then you got that big-ass pitch axe. And while my man is, like, getting beat up with the hose, why didn't one of you guys? And then here's the other thing. How many Michael Myers movies do we have to have before somebody actually says, let me make sure that he's actually not breathing before we walk away? How about that? How about we make sure that he's actually dead before we walk away?
Yeah.
I don't know. That sounds like it might make sense. I mean, we've only been going through this since 1978, and he's still not dead. But you know who else ain't dead? Knockouts and Three Counts ain't dead. We got a big-ass episode coming for you this Thursday. Well, James Lynch and Corey and I are going to break down UFC 268. And as long as you listen to my bets, you might actually win some money.
A winning bet, go with my boys, the Atlanta Braves.
Hell no! Did you watch that game the other night? Houston was looking hard body.
I'm also watching the scorecast of this game, and it is 7-0 right now in the bottom of the seventh. And they're up 3-2, the Braves.
Damn. So, man, Houston shot their load, and Houston shot their load all in that other game. But man, was that a hell of a game that night! And like I said, we've got a lot of great things to come for you at Knockouts and Three Counts. We'll have Mark the Shark Irwin off of his win for Bare Knuckle FC on with us next week. You never know who's going to come through here. So that's all the more reason you got to hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, hit that share button. And like I always tell you, leave out those reviews because I will shout them out on the show. So before I get out of here, shout out to all the new people who hit that motherfucking subscribe on YouTube and all that good stuff. Shout out to Rachel Ender for subscribing. Let's see who else. Ethan Jordan hit that subscribe button. What up, though, E? Like I said, Brandon Martin, we appreciate all you guys who are hitting that subscribe button. We need you guys to hit that subscribe button, share it, like it with your friends. Get you a t-shirt. Kathy, yours is on the way, and I'll give you one of the old ones as well. I don't know, man. Great episode. A lot to talk about, but all the more reason that you guys got to be here and see what comes out of my mouth next. So until next time and in the in-between time, peace.